This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Biohacker Blondie podcast, where we talk all things health, wellness, longevity, and of course, biohacking. Today's guest is Elias Arjan, a luminary in the health and wellness space. Elias has consulted for top wellness brands like BioStrap and has been spotlighted in various media, including international publications, live events, and dozens of podcasts. His ventures include Healthspan Productions, known for signature events like Heal Forum and the Healthspan Summit. Today, we dive into the key pillars of longevity, the declining lifespan, health tips for every decade, and the crucial role of relationships for longevity. We'll also explore Elias's dietary journey, how he went from vegetarian to eating red meat, how he is feeling his best at age 50 and lifting more weight than ever before, and his latest venture, Proven, focused on scientific validation in wellness tech and supplements. You won't want to miss this amazing episode, so let's get into it. This is my second podcast with Biohacker Blondie, and we are here with Elias Arjan.
Yes.
Is that how you say that?
You got it.
Founder of Healthspan, also co-founder of Proven?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And you've had some other companies.
Yeah, I've been in a couple different places I've been involved, and not always within sort of the Healthspan and health industries in a lot of different spaces. But I had a consulting firm for a long time.
Okay, so you've been in this space for a long time.
Yeah, so long that I don't want to admit due to my actual age. But yes, I started as a personal trainer
and
studying exercise science. Over 30 years ago.
Okay. And how was that?
I mean, that was an amazing time, but we didn't have the knowledge that we have now. So really, like when I was a personal trainer, the levers we had was you either want to gain weight, which meant gain muscle usually, maintain your weight, or lose weight.
Yeah.
And that was like, that's all we used to talk about 30 years ago.
I know. We have so much more information about our health, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So why is our health not... in a great, why is our lifespan decreasing and why are more people sick than ever, you know?
I mean, that's the $1 trillion question, right?
Right?
Is what is going on? Why are we looking at declining health, lifespan? Like lifespan dropped actually in America for the first time.
Yeah.
Ever.
I was actually just listening to another podcast today from DNA company. I don't know if you know him, but yeah, it's like 3 years, right?
Yeah.
So in I think since
COVID. Depends. There's a couple different studies depending on who you refer back to. But yeah, I think, you know, I think for women it was something like 78 and for men it was about 76.
Okay.
And it's dropped. And it's not just COVID. Like a lot of people say, well, that was because of the COVID.
Yeah, that's what I was.
But it's not just COVID. It's literally because, you know, chronic diseases and diseases of lifestyle have reduced American lifespan by somewhere between 1.5 to 2.5 years, depending on who you look at.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
We have our DNA now.
Yes.
We have more science than ever. So I think it's just why, you know, I mean, I know definitely kind of why our health has not been so great, but yeah, it's definitely a concern and we need to do something about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this is, should be like an all hands on deck moment, right? Yeah. Like this should be like everybody, this should be front page news every day.
I know.
And, you know, it seems like we go from crisis to crisis to crisis as a society.
Not fixing the root cause.
Well, but to me, I guess the reason I came back into health after being in a lot of other industries is because to me, you know, I also too was probably even my age, right? Because as I started to get older, I started to realize that, you know, because I had the foundation of, you know, turning into athletics when I was young. But before that, I wasn't always that way. I was that kid in gym class that was the last one around the track who could never do a single push-up. Like I was kind of an obese kid.
And were you out of breath as well?
I was out of breath. I had asthma. Mm-hmm. I had allergies. Like I was a very unhealthy youngster.
Yeah.
So what happened was when I was 18, I was like, you know, I'm going to do something about this, inspired by my grandfather because he was, you know, an elderly farm guy, like he grew up on a farm. And so when I looked at him and I was 18 and he was like, I think he was 60 years older than me. So he was 78 and I couldn't keep up with him.
Wow.
And so that was like a light bulb went on and I went like, holy crap, your health is a choice of how you live.
Yeah.
And so that was when I realized, okay, I got to live as if I want to be him. Right. Yeah. At 78. And so that's when I joined the gym and I've never looked back since.
And you work out daily?
I work out like literally this morning. First thing I did this morning is I put on a 30-pound
vest.
Oh,
nice.
And ankle weights. And I go walk like 2 miles.
Okay. I have the ankle weights, but I think I need to do the vest because I've heard a lot of trainers and people saying that, you know, having that body weight kind of centered is the extra weight centered is really great for.
Yeah. They're calling that. I mean, some people are calling it rucking. I guess. I don't know if you heard that term. Yeah.
No.
So they're calling that rucking, which is like you put on like a backpack. A lot of people are just buying like a backpack and you just load weights into it. I bought the vest because I wanted the weight front and back.
Yeah.
And so I just got a 30-pound vest and I've been wearing that in the morning. So I do that on my off days. So I either go to the gym and I train really heavy.
You go to Gold's?
No, I don't. Okay. I'm not in Santa Monica anymore. So
You're not doing the Gold's, not the typical Gold's influencer. Yeah.
No, but I you know, I go to the gym. I'm very much in my own zone. Like I put on my headphones and I just like train, you know.
Same. But I'm kind of like in my zone. I just turn up the music and I can go. And
yeah.
Like,
but I mean, again, as a guy at my age, like you train differently for who you are, what your goals are, and even the decade of life. Like that's the other thing I don't see people talking about. That, you know, is someone who was a personal trainer and an advocate for exercise. Like you train for a different purpose in your 20s and 30s than you do in your 40s and 50s and 60s. So it's like, I've actually thought about writing a book on this actually. Is like, what
different
do you,
age?
Like, yeah. Like what's the training strategy per decade?
And hormones of different, you know, in your 20s, your 30s, what happens every, you know, 10 years to your hormones, you know, and things that you can implement every 10 years because your body's constantly changing.
Yeah.
That's actually a great idea because I think a lot of people get confused, especially as you get older, you notice these changes. So you should always be like thinking about these things, you know, and also with working out, you know, injury is a huge thing.
Yes.
So it's like you need to keep up the muscle, but you also don't want to do activities where you might injure yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also too, that depends, like, again, like I said, for a guy at my age, because I want to maintain like testosterone levels and, you know, human growth hormone levels, because those are things that are dropping the fastest.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to train like max effort lifting.
Yeah.
So, so you kind of got to train almost like you're like a power lifter a little bit, you know what I mean? But you, again, if you don't have a foundation and you do that, you can. That's when guys get injured because they try to lift too much weight and they haven't built the foundation for their joints and their connective tissues.
And they have toxins in their body.
Yeah, and so then they like, so then they go to pull like a max deadlift at a CrossFit gym and they haven't really built the foundation. And then it's like they throw out their back or
the ankle.
Just
the worst. It's so hard to recover.
Yeah, and so fortunately, like I said, I knew all this because of my background in exercise science. That when I got back into the sort of heavy lifting, I spent almost, be quite honest, like almost 2 years building myself back up to what I'm lifting now.
Oh,
and
nice.
Now I'm lifting the heaviest of my life.
Wow.
At age 50.
Wow. Congrats. So, that's really cool. Yeah. I mean, that's people are always like, oh, it's my age. I'm exhausted, or I can't do these things because, you know, I'm getting older.
Right.
And I'm like, no, that's not how you're supposed to be. Like, yes, things do change, but you can like, you know, do things to prevent like exhaustion and muscle like loss and everything.
I mean, I agree with you. I mean, there are some challenges. I think, to be quite honest, it's even a little bit harder for women postmenopause than it is for men at this age.
Yeah.
Because of the hormone levels, I think, you know, and I'm not an expert on that, so I don't really know enough details to really have an authoritative opinion, but I've heard from a lot of the thought leaders, you know, who to speak specifically to women, postmenopausal women, about some of the challenges and some of the ways that, like, I think you have to strategize, right? You got to strategize for your demographic, your natural orientation, your gender, if we can even talk about gender anymore, you know, your biological sex, I guess we should say, not gender, your biological sex, because okay, the hormones between men and women are different.
Yes, exactly.
And so, yeah. And so there is some biological differences there that do impact the way you train and how you plan your performance and exercise, especially for exercise.
Yeah.
You know, but exercise is really only one of the six pillars that I usually think about when I think about health.
Like longevity and health.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are these six pillars?
They're the ones that everyone talks about, right?
Okay, sleep.
You know, sleep. Yeah, you can guess them. Yeah,
sleep. Nutrition.
Yes. See, I didn't even tell you.
Okay. Exercise.
Yes.
So three. Hydration or nutrients?
No, that usually falls
under. What are the hormones?
Those are important.
Yeah,
but we're talking about the big buckets, right? So the big buckets are like sleep, nutrition, exercise. And then obviously the other one I always talk about is mindset, right?
Mental health.
And,
okay.
And the thing I think, you know, mental health is a very wide term, encompasses a lot. A lot of times I think mental health is actually fundamental because you have to deal with that before you deal with anything else. Like, you can't start coaching a person on sleep if they're stressed to the max and miserable.
But I also think, you know, your physical affects your mental, and your mental affects your physical.
Here we have, this is where you have what's called a negative feedback loop, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you're not sleeping, so you're miserable.
Yeah.
And so you're miserable, you're depressed.
Energy's
so then you
everything.
Binge eat at night.
Yes.
And that means you don't sleep. And then you don't sleep, so you're more miserable, and you keep making worse and worse choices because you're suffering from lack of sleep. And so it's like, it's a negative feedback loop. And so this is one of the biggest problems with health, is health usually in.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Involves breaking some type of negative feedback loop
that
most people are already embedded in.
Yeah.
Even the healthiest people, like even myself, I'm sure you, I'm sure everybody listening, no matter how healthy you think you are, I guarantee you, there's some negative feedback loop in your life.
More sleep.
Yeah. That you could probably get improvements from.
Yeah.
If you got out of it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's these habits that you just get used to, and then, you know, you just keep doing them.
So mindset. So we got sleep, exercise, nutrition, mindset. There's two. People usually only talk about this four, but I've recently added two more because I feel like they're the two that are often, they're so fundamental and they're so obvious, but they're often not overtly stated in these podcasting health context. I think they're really important.
Okay, let's hear them.
Okay. So relationships.
Oh, yes. I was just there was like the Harvard study from the 1930s saying that relationships.
The longest longitudinal study in the world on longevity. Yes.
Yeah. So that is, I should have known that.
Yeah.
Because that's huge. And I think if you're in a negative, any type of relationship, it's causing stress, affects your hormones. And yeah, that study you said that.
Yeah.
That's one of the main things for longevity.
But if you think about that, that's similar to a lot of this talk about longevity, but blue zones.
Okay. Yeah.
Because most of the people in those blue zones are embedded into communities, right? Loma Linda, right? Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
In Italy. Like there's a cultural environment that they exist within where they have multiple generations often, like interacting. So like you're embedded in a community of people who care for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to live.
Yeah.
And I think this is such a fundamental thing that isn't talked about in the longevity community. It's like the first rule of longevity, right, is don't die. Well, the only reason you don't want to die is because you love life.
I know.
If you don't love life.
You don't care.
You don't care.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That should be the first thing we talk about when we talk about longevity and health span.
I know, wanting to live long.
What's your reason?
Yeah.
For
yeah.
living? You know, some people it's like, well, my family, I want to be here for my grandchildren and great grandchildren.
Yeah.
Some people it's like, I'm so passionate about the work I'm doing in the world, that's going to keep me going. But I think that actually in many ways should be the first thing we talk about. And you, trust me, nobody wants to live if they're not embedded around people that love them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really true. And it's strange to me because sometimes you hear people like, well, if I live to 60, I'll be pretty happy. You know,
right.
Like some people you hear and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, there's so much I want to accomplish and do. And I feel like there's so many beautiful things around me. I don't know. I get excited. I want to live a long, healthy life.
Well, like I've traveled the world extensively.
Do the blue zones?
I've been to those countries. I haven't specifically visited all the blue zones specifically.
I would love to go and then do a podcast.
Yeah,
there.
That's a cool podcasting idea. You should try that.
Right?
Yeah. Interview the blue zone podcast. You know? But I actually think the blue zones are a little overhyped to me, to be quite honest. Like I think that idea is a useful idea. But I mean, again, what's more interesting is just generally even like the centurions, right? Like why do people live to 100 or even, it doesn't even have to be 100. Like, again, my grandfather, I'll use it as an example, you know, like he, till 85, he was working every day.
Yeah. Same with my grandpa. Yeah.
You know? And really? So, you know, he just loved what he did. He was a barber and he was a barber back like in the day, like in World War II, barbers did like minor surgery and stuff like this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he ran a barber shop and up until the day 85, you found them every morning in there at 6 a.m. sweeping the floor and cleaning up and getting the store ready to be opened. And that was his routine. And he was passionate about what he did. And he loved talking to people because, you know, I think barbers and hairdressers often are also therapists.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I tell my hairstylist every time. I'm like, you're my therapist.
Yeah, they're also therapists. So they end up being really, you know, like some bartenders, you know, like they're always talking to people.
I know.
And people are sort of like sharing with them all the time. So, you know, so I look at like, why did he keep going? You know, it's because, and also he came from the generation where that type of discipline was very important. You know, he was raised, you know, on a farm in a very disciplined environment. So when you talk about like, why is our health falling apart? I think, be quite honest, I would say this is not often stated on longevity podcasts, but I think discipline is also part of what's missing is we're entering a period of society where people aren't willing to be uncomfortable with their actions. And they say, well, if that's too hard, I'm just not going to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, this relationship is too difficult. I'm out. I quit. I break up with them. This exercise routine was more than I want to deal with. So people want to be comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, we're very comfortable at this time.
Yeah. And so, you know, you have to be willing to be uncomfortable.
So is that your sixth one?
No, that's a good one though. I could add that. And I mean, actually it does tie in though, because the sixth one to me is actually nature.
Oh.
Is realigning.
I should have known these, yes.
Is realigning with the natural world. So what does that mean? Well, that means that you should spend some time walking barefoot on the earth. You should spend some time
breathing in fresh air.
And getting, you know, morning sun into your eyes without sunglasses.
Yeah.
You know? So like I went for my walk this morning with my, I don't wear my sunglasses, right?
Okay.
So I do that.
Getting that natural light.
Getting that natural light first thing in the morning, you know? And
do you do 10,000 steps or?
Typically, yeah, I got my Oura Ring on, so that tracks my steps.
Okay. And you get good sleep. You're now like.
I'm a professional sleeper. Sleep has never been my issue. Like, I'm a very good sleeper.
Do you get about 8 hours or?
I can do pretty good on 7, but I try to get 8.
Okay. That's pretty good.
I usually, you know, but I'm very consistent with my sleep. But I trained myself after many years as a traveler. So I traveled a lot and I'm one of these people. It's like
traveling is hard on the body.
Exactly.
Right?
So I trained myself through traveling that when it became that 8 hour window, it's like, I'm gone. I'm out. It's like, you could put me, like you said, okay, we're going to sleep now here on this floor. And I was like, this is your 8 hour window of time to go to bed. I would be like, okay, let's do it. And I'll just pass out. Like, I just need a little bit of a pillow maybe.
So you don't take any melatonin, whatever. You're just
I'm a professional sleeper. I think that comes from, I lived in a Buddhist monastery for a little while and I studied a lot of meditation, a lot of yoga practice, a lot of breathing practice.
Wow.
So I learned how to align how to train my autonomic nervous system to turn on the parasympathetic. So it's like now I'll decide kind of cognitively, it's time to turn off the sympathetic mind, go into parasympathetic activation and go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But that came from, again, decades of training.
Yeah.
So now it's like time to go to bed, turn it off, down.
I know. I'm typically a really good sleeper, but starting this podcast and some other things, my mind has been spinning a lot at night and I notice I'm having kind of a hard time going to bed. And then I automatically wake up at 6:30 every morning.
Right.
So if I don't go to bed early, I'm not getting my full.
I mean, I think that's also a sign of being highly motivated, though. It's because you're excited for the day, right? It's like,
there's so much I want to do and stuff. So, yeah, it's just like my mind's spinning now. And I've noticed my sleep has not been the best.
Right.
So now I gotta work on that.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely, I don't know do you live in this area in Santa Monica?
Marina.
Yeah. So do you ever do walks on the beach in the morning or anything like that?
There's always morning of like beach events and everything. So I should. I live like right on the water in the marina, which is great.
Well, that's why I have this 6th point about aligning to nature, because I find, and this is just observational. I'm a very strong scientist and I don't like to promote things that haven't been validated, but there is some validation on this that, yeah, I mean, aligning yourself to those cyclical rhythms of nature do often have a massive impact on sleep. So it's like if you get up in that morning, if you get up at 6:30 and the first thing you do is a 20-minute walk barefoot on the sand on the beach, you might be surprised how much that might impact your sleep.
Okay.
Because, you know, and one of the other things I notice for myself, for my sleep, based on my Oura Ring and my Whoop, is that the harder I train that day,
the better sleep.
My sleep is as well, because my body is physiologically tired. So it's like it has to get that recovery. So the body recognizes you really got to get recovery in. So we're going to put you to sleep type of thing.
Yeah.
So I've been finding that's been an interesting observation too for myself, my own N of one.
I need to do grounding for sure.
Yeah.
I go work out in the mornings.
Right.
I do like a little, you know, gratitude journal, coffee, and then I'm like, okay, I'll go work out. But, you know, it's on the rooftop.
Right. So. Yeah. Like I said, that's why I think that's one of the big things for me when you talk about why we're so sick. I think it's because we're moving further and further away from nature. And I think it's important that we bring that back up, because the more we go into this like AI, like high tech world, I think that people are underestimating the negative impact on our physiology by becoming so misaligned with the natural rhythms of the world.
I know.
And
I know.
I don't think that can be.
Even like farming or whatever, we used to put but people used to, you know, and they'd put their hands in the soil and get probiotics, like all these little things that, you know, people used to do. We didn't realize like how much that was impacting their health for the better. And now we've taken all that away and now we're more in concrete or like, you know.
So Oura just released their results from a global sleep study.
Okay.
Of who slept the most by country and who slept the least. And so the top two countries for sleep were Ireland and New Zealand. Two very two islands with a lot of fresh air where people probably live closer to the natural rhythms. Mm-hmm. And they slept the most. And you know who slept the least?
Us.
No. US was actually not bad. It was like somewhere in the upper middle.
Okay.
But the least was Japan and South Korea.
Oh.
Highly technical nations.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
People spend a lot of time on their phone. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to Tokyo.
No, I have
or,
not.
You know, or if you've been, if you go to South Korea or Japan, I mean, they're highly, you know, high technology societies, at least in Tokyo. There's parts of Japan that are extremely, like, you're deep into nature and they're very much aligned with those rhythms of nature. But I bet you those people didn't have Aura rings.
Yeah.
I bet you most of the Japanese who had Aura rings were
in
Tokyo.
The city. Yeah.
And so I almost guarantee you that between South Korea and Tokyo and Japan, I would guess they're probably in the big cities in those countries. And they're so, you know, you got that neon light, you know, artificial light on all the time. And they slept the least.
Are you thinking also EMFs as well? Because I know everyone, or you know, a lot of people in the longevity space right. will take out their Wi-Fi, like all that, and they say that they'll sleep better.
So, I mean, again, I did a post this week about that will not make me popular, but again, part of what we do at Proven is like we try to look at the science to validate behind the claims that these wellness influencers make.
Okay.
So one of the things that a longitudinal study came out, for example, that there was absolutely no study that has ever proved that blue blockers improve sleep and reduce eye strain.
Okay.
There's been, they did
the glasses as well.
Yeah.
The blue, okay.
So here's my theory about the EMF one, because the EMF, there are mixed studies mm-hmm. on EMFs mm-hmm. and I don't have enough data to give you what I would give you. Like, this is just sort of a general opinion. And like any scientist, I'm happy to be proven wrong. So it's like, if this opinion is incorrect, I'm continuing to follow the data and I'll change my opinion as it goes. But currently, based upon the data I do have, this is my thoughts. There is a percentage of the population that are what you might call EMF sensitive.
Yeah.
I don't know what that number is. I think it's relatively small. I think it's probably less than 5%, if
okay.
that. But I have heard anecdotally stories of people who lived in a town or an area that as soon as like smart meters came in, they got cluster headaches
yeah.
out of nowhere. And they didn't even know why. At first they were like, I don't know where this is coming from. And they found out through investigation that there were all of these new sources
towers
of EMF,
or, yeah.
towers, 5G, whatever it is, uh-huh. that came in, and they started to have health consequences. So those people, literally some of them like moved to Montana or Iowa because it was so severe.
Wow.
And they were forced to do that. And I know...
Do you know where this was?
All over the country. I've heard stories anecdotally from people who have served these populations. There's a company, I don't know if you heard it, called Defender Shield.
No.
So a lot of people ended up going to the people at Defender Shield because Defender Shield was one of the early brands on EMF mitigation technologies.
Okay.
So the founders. So I spoke to them very early on, and they were telling me they were just hearing people come to them with this situation come up. So I do believe those people are not crazy. I think it's unfair. I think it's a very unfair thing we do.
I think it's helpful. I mean, these blockers or staying away from your phone or, you know, I don't think that's a huge impact on our health. Like, there's so many other things we should probably focus on and think of before, like, focusing on that.
Yes.
If you're a crazy, you know, biohacker, longevity, I don't know, doing all the things. And also, I noticed someone told me you don't like the word biohacker. And I was going to ask you, is this why you didn't go to the biohacking conference in Orlando?
It's the first year I missed it. The first time in like 4 or 5 years,
were
maybe.
You?
We can get into that if you want. Let's finish this thought first, because I want to finish the EMF thoughts.
Yes.
So there are people who have that, and I think it's unfair to call people crazy when they have this experience, right? So this is what a lot of the medical community does. They say, "Oh, it's all in your head. You're just having like a somatic episode." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, psychosomatic episode. So I don't like doing that to people. I don't think it's fair.
Yeah.
So I do believe there's probably something going on there. My concern in the biohacking community, if you will, is the fact that people start talking about EMFs as if it's like situation critical.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't care. If you're eating junk food, you don't need to be worrying about EMFs. Like, you need to be worrying about eating junk
That's
food.
That's the bear. Start there.
Yeah.
You know?
So this is my problem, is that there's all these people who are like, you know, raving about the importance of blue blocking glasses and EMF mitigation, but the person isn't even exercising.
Yeah.
So it's like the biohacking space has become so gadget and orientated.
And it's also implementing nature. That's what, like, these things, all these things are just like the PEMF mats, like, you know, the sauna, the cold plunge. This is like going into the ocean and you can just, you know, grounding, going on the sand.
I mean, we live in Southern California. I just go for a walk in the desert. That's my sauna treatment, 100 degree weather.
Because this stuff's getting, I mean, all this technology is really expensive.
Yes.
And so it's crazy. You know, a lot of people can't afford these biohacks.
Yes.
And yes, it's great. And I think I'm grateful that people can afford and do the research, like Brian Johnson or something, and spending $2 million, and he's, you know, providing information, but that's not the typical person.
Right.
And most people can't even afford, you know, healthcare.
Yes.
And even I just was listening to something else, 66% of personal bankruptcies are from like a health bill or something.
Yes.
So I'm like, I just heard that. I was like, wow. This isn't, you know, so this is the typical, I feel like, person.
Right.
And so then when you get into these biohack, these saunas, $4,000 here,
yes,
peptides, you know, stem cell facials, another $2,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Stem cell body makeover, $50,000.
It's this is the argument. And I feel like, cause, I mean, I stopped calling myself a biohacker like last year. I spoke at an event in December of 2022 where I kind of, cause I presented on biohacking at a number of events, a number of podcasts. I was brought on as a biohacker. And then in December of last year, I spoke at the How Do You Health Festival in Austin, Texas. And I did my whole talk was basically like why I'm no longer calling myself a biohacker and why, and the reasoning behind it and why I'm moving to sort of a different dialogue. And, you know, it's a whole talk, so I don't want to go through all of it, but I'll try to summarize it briefly. Is I feel like there's like three things that happened in the biohacking space, you know, since I started in it like 5 years ago or 6 years ago almost. So I was a pretty early proponent of the term. Like, I was trying to promote this, you know, way before a lot of other people were on board.
Are you a fan of Dave Asprey?
Well, here's...
Here's
my thing, is that it's become like an affiliate pitch fest inside of the biohacking community, mm-hmm, right? Like, you go and it's just gadget, after technique, after buy
supplement.
This and buy that and buy this thing. And it's just like, oh, come on. Like, you know, we started with, to me, the fundamental idea of biohacking is sound, which is get a test, right? Apply the scientific method to managing your own physiology at an N=1 level. Right. So what that means to me is the scientific method is like you do some type of analysis, blood baseline, genomics testing, wearable, then you apply an intervention, right? And you see if that intervention works for you. Because if you have an Oura Ring and I have an Oura Ring and I do this technique for sleep and you do that technique for sleep, we may get totally different results.
I know. Yeah.
So that,
and blood
to me,
work. I'm always like, yes, there's supplements I take, but I do blood work. And that's why I think blood work is just an amazing thing you can do. Yes. Mostly covered through insurance, most yes. things. And so I always tell people, friends or whatever, I'm like, just go get some blood work. I know, you know, you've never, you don't really do this. You don't go to your doctor right. ever. And so, but it can provide you so much information and help you just like balance out all those nutrients in your body, which can change your energy, your health, like, you know, your thyroid's low or right. something because you're not having selenium or these things in your diet yeah. and it can just do wonders for you. Just those little hacks, you know?
Yeah. And so that to me is biohacking. So if we're yeah. talking about that, I support that.
Yeah.
But that is not what the biohacking community has become.
Yeah, it's a whole nother beast.
It's become something else, right? It's become this like affiliate gadget technology frenzy. And if you really think about where it actually leads us is towards transhumanism.
Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the things that I've encountered is I've seen the space change over the last 5-6 years is that we have to face the fact that, you know, Neuralink exists. Mm-hmm. They got FDA cleared this year.
That's so crazy.
The idea of, you know, and as Elon Musk said, you know, your phone, right, your phone there is your neural interface. You're already a cyborg. If I take your phone away for a month, you're going to suffer extreme physical and mental distress is if I took away a piece of your body. He calls it phantom limb syndrome. So we already have merged with technology. So we're really only one step away from transhumanism because we're already close.
Yeah.
In terms of just the attachment to our phone. So we need to decide, right? So the biohackers need to decide, you know, are you okay with that? Like, I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I've decided that that's why I brought nature back in. My orientation is that I don't want to become a transhumanist biohacker. I want to be like a free range organic human, but I still want to do all of the techniques with up to a certain point that allow me to, you know, be a, what Peter Attia calls the centurion decathlon. So I'm training is if I plan, like I'm training to live to 100. So I have to think about this in everything I do, right? From a health standpoint, like exercise, food, mindset, nutrition, nature, relationships. Like what am I doing to be training for that centurion decathlon? Some people are just sitting by and waiting for like Neuralink and all of the nanobots to make them like live, you know, for a long time. New organs, like organ replacement. So like some people are just really like that could be a way.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
a certain group of people could extend their lifespan. Some people think indefinitely.
Yeah.
So you need to decide what side of that argument do you come out on? And that's when I realized that that's coming.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm disavowing biohacking. I'm into health span.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Okay.
Because that means I want to optimize the amount of health I can get out of this organism that I currently occupy in this body. And so that's why I dropped biohacking and went to health span.
So are you for any of the like longevity hacks of like peptides or hormone replacements or stem cells?
Yeah. I mean, so I am. I think, like I said, you need to decide what's your threshold.
I know.
Right?
And it's, we keep going further and further, and we're going to have to get to a point like, you know, with genes, like altering
genes. CRISPR,
yeah, I know. So we're getting to that. Like, we're going to have to make laws, and the society is going to have to decide what we allow.
Yeah.
because we can maybe.
But we're not having that conversation.
I know.
We have our history shows.
We'll get there when that happens, and then we won't.
But
know.
We won't. We won't have that conversation because we did. We have that conversation when the phones came out.
And the tech.
Did
no.
anybody? Was there any informed consent that you were already merging your brain with your phone?
No.
Nobody told you that was what was going to happen. They just said, "Hey, buy an iPhone."
Yeah.
It's going to be make your life better. You bought an iPhone, and now.
And then the Supreme Court. That you know they have these tech companies come in, but they don't really know how to take care of the situation. And so I feel like with this as well, they're not really going to know either, like what's going to be allowed and what, you know, there's, it's a gray area.
Yeah. If you read the book Surveillance Capitalism,
no, I haven't heard of it.
It is brutal because you realize what's actually like, that to me is one
is
of the
new?
Most,
so
no,
is it-
it's actually, the woman is like a Harvard professor, Shoshana Zuboff. I believe I pronounced her name. Please excuse me if it's wrong. She's brilliant. She's brilliant, but she's very academic. So it's a very thick read, the book.
Okay.
So like I'm listening to it as a podcast, as a audiobook.
Yeah.
But even then it's like you can only digest so much. But her thesis is simply the fact that, you know, Google – like what happened was, it was the, when they had the .com boom, Google had all of this data from search and they were forced into commodifying it quickly because the .com, all the companies were going under. So Google was put in this position where they had to figure out what are we going to do? And they had said they're literally opening catchphrase was don't be evil. And they said that they were never going to sell ads.
What?
That was literally at the beginning of Google. They said that we do not want to be in the business of advertising. And their tagline was, don't be evil. They wanted to serve the public good. But then when the .com crash happened, they had to find a way to commodify quickly. Mm. And all their investors said, look, you have the most robust AI data set on human behavior online. Sell ads. You have to sell ads because you know what people are looking for. So start giving them ads that target their needs based upon their searches. So what did they do? They built the largest data set on human behavior on the planet.
That's a good way to look at it.
And now they know
I don't think
exactly,
people look at it. They think now, of a they know, search engine.
Yeah, now they know they have search engine is not it's they are in the they are surveillance capitalists. So what they do is they surveil the society through multiple systems. And with that data, they harvest, and what she calls this, us, we are not the product. We are the raw material that's being harvested like iron, like copper, like harvesting a forest. We are the raw material. Our behavioral data is the raw material they harvest, and then they sell that. That's what their business model is.
I mean, they probably weren't meaning to be come to this, you know, I think it just slowly integrated into it.
I mean,
I feel like with the health system, it wasn't like everyone just was like, let's be at a table and destroy our health.
Yeah, I'm not, I actually find, to me personally, I think a lot of these conspiracy theory ideas of that sort of thing, like there's like the star chamber and it's like, you know, we're going to sit down and plan to like manipulate the humanity like this, the puppeteer version of this. I mean, I do think it's it's nice because if you can just do that, you can blame somebody else for the problems that we have in the world instead of saying, well, look, we all kind of
contributed
in some way.
Yeah.
To these problems. But I like that second option because if we all contributed to the problem, then what does that also mean?
We can all contribute to a solution.
Exactly. So I like to believe that model of reality than the, you know, there's other people in control and it's not my fault.
Yeah.
Because that's very disempowering to me.
I know. And if one person, that's why it's like what I'm doing, I'm just trying to spread awareness through with health and knowledge and just like, hey, maybe don't eat that. Or like, you know, that's going to cause inflammation. Or go. I tell my friends all the time, I'm like, go get blood work. But like, I also want to be a good person. And I feel like your health is a big reflection of that because I'm more positive. I'm more, you know, and so I'm telling like if we can bring health into everyone's life, I feel like you become kind of a better person. You're better mentally, physically, and happier, more energetic. And then we can all kind of keep going. So like the more people you affect, the triple effect or the, you know, and so we can all just keep being better people.
Right.
And I'm grateful also that I have this awareness, because I feel like a lot of people don't even have the opportunity to come to this awareness.
Yeah, I do think that's, I mean, that is always something we need to come back to, is sort of like, you know, longevity and health advocates, is like, not everybody has the opportunities that we currently have to take advantage of this.
Especially, you know, in Los Angeles.
Yeah. So there's like, yeah, I mean, you can see, yeah, you can, I mean, you walk around and you see like people who are just in really bad, you know, dire straits. And
yeah.
So, you know, so we need to, you know, acknowledge that we're in privileged positions. You know, mm-hmm. we need to be careful not to like come off as like proletizing from the pulpit, like everybody should do this, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's one of the other reasons why I've kind of tried to carve my own space within this, because I feel like there's a lot of, you know, I think there's a lot of people who are speaking to that elite audience, and that's great. But, you know, how are we going to bring more people with us?
Yeah. Right?
I think we're at the stage now where we can start looking there, at least, right?
Yeah.
We can at least start looking there, because it's still right now, things are expensive, but I really truly believe that the prices are going to start coming down in 2 to 3 years, and these technologies will be able to become more adopted across the mainstream. I don't know if you're familiar with the innovation adoption curve.
No.
It's basically the cycle of how technology is adopted. So you have like at the early stage, you have like a small group of like innovators.
Yeah.
And these are like the very early people. And a lot of those innovators now have become like the thought leaders, because they were the first people in, right? Mm-hmm. So these are a lot of the people running the top podcasts today, because they came in early.
Yeah.
And so, but they were like part of this minority group. And then after the innovators, you know, and they're like, that's a small group. It's like 3% of the population. That's part of the innovator category. Then you have the early adopters, which is like maybe another 10 to 15% of the population. So we're actually still in that phase in terms of longevity and biohacking and what have you. It's a small group.
Yeah.
And then
it's true. I always think everyone's in this, and then I realize because I'm in it, that a lot of people are not, even in LA, Venice.
We're in our bubble. I mean, LA is a crazy bubble for this, because proportionately, like, I talk to international brands all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Every international brand in health and longevity wants to get into LA.
That's why, even with Timeline Nutrition, I'm like, you should be, because I think everything kind of starts here.
Everything starts here. And it's been that way since the 70s.
Okay.
All the fitness trends.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Like, where did that start? Even things like yoga, like, where did the most yoga studios open?
In LA.
You know, like, when they kind of started to hit these critical mass. Like, when I started doing yoga, you know, 20 years ago, I had to go to an ashram to do.
Wow.
So 25 years ago,
I forget these were not like, now they're on every corner.
I went to an ashram, and you know what I had to do a residential retreat. We would spend like 12 hours a day in the yoga room. So we would literally go and we would do like 2 hours of meditation, and then we would do like a darshan, like a teaching. So there'd be like a teaching. And then you would do the yoga, which was sometimes like a 2.5 hour class of yoga. But it wasn't this type of like hot yoga, like trendy yoga. This was like a very,
very mental,
very physical, mental. So we would go in, and we would start maybe with like a teaching. Then they would do pranayama, breathing. Then you would do this very long yoga class that was very kind of orientated to getting to you in the state to go and meditate for an hour. So we might be in the room for like 4 or 5 hours sometimes.
Wow.
To do this.
You do that like once a week?
What you would do is you would probably go there and you would do that to learn it. And then I'd go practice on my own for weeks or months at a time. Like, it wasn't this idea of you would go to the ashram to learn the technique so that you would go home and practice these on your own, because there was no yoga studios in any corners.
Yeah.
So that was how I learned yoga.
Yeah.
You know,
I know, we forget that a lot of these things were not around.
Yeah.
You know?
So I've lived through those cycles. So I've had a chance to see that. But yeah, there was no yoga studios on the corners, like none.
Wow. Now they're everywhere.
Now they're everywhere.
There's so many health events every around here. It's just like.
But in LA, you're in this bubble in Los Angeles where you feel like everybody is like biohacking or doing health stuff or like looking at longevity and doing peptides and doing like all these, and even if they're not doing those things, they're probably doing beauty treatments.
I know,
and
that's Botox, a whole other thing.
And, you know, tummy tucks and like whatever else, right?
Eyebrow lifts, yeah. Whatever. It's just crazy here.
Yeah. So like LA is a bubble, but you leave this bubble and you realize that, we're a tiny number of people that are applying this.
I know.
So to get from this small, narrow group that we live inside to a mass market audience, they have something that's called crossing the chasm. And so a bunch of things have to happen. Our messaging has to change. Our pricing model has to become more accessible.
Yeah.
The way we communicate this to people has to...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of. And there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Like, just continue to expand. I know.
And that's why I kind of also wanted to bring this podcast, because I want it to be typical. I feel like a lot of these podcasts are very technical.
Right.
And I think a lot of people are not, the terms and everything just can get a lot for people. So I kind of wanted to make it more casual, you know, learning a lot, but at the same time, like, casual for the typical person.
Right.
My goal.
Well, no, that's good. I mean, that's exactly what we need, because to cross that chasm, that's what we need.
There's
we need
so many doctors, and they get very, very, and it's a little sometimes too much for people. It's a little drain, you know, it's just, and then they won't listen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just kind of trying to, like, bring that down to basic terms and realizing, because when you're in this space, you just think everyone, my friends, too, who live here, they don't know a lot either. I mean, I'm constantly talking about this, so... A lot of people are not aware of, like, healthier choices they can get at the grocery store.
Right.
Or, like, you know, these typical, like...
Well, the simple trick to that, right? You know that one is you just walk in a square. You don't go into don't any go of the in aisles. The middle. Just don't go in. Stay out of the middle of the grocery store and you'll be better off, right? Because that's always just
walk
on
the outside. But it's hard when, you know, I feel like you'll go into a regular grocery store, too, and it's like all this stuff is just, like, right in front of your face at the registers, like the gums and the... candy, and like there's just so much of it.
Yeah, it's astounding, actually.
I know, and it's not food. It's like you look at these things and you're like, how do people even think this is like normal to eat this, like, I don't know, you know, this.
Well, anything that comes in a package that was like anything that was human made in that particular way, like if you really do think about it briefly, like you said, like if you just eat meats and vegetables or, you know. That's
it can
what
do
humans
wonders
have been eating.
Too. It's like we have all these health issues, but no one. And I'm like, don't you want to feel great? Like, I don't think people really think about this, but it's like, if I choose to eat this, I'll feel better physically and mentally. If I eat this, I'm going to feel like crap most of the time.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you my personal nutrition story, because maybe this will help anyone who's listening. I told you I lived at the ashram. I studied in a Buddhist monastery. So I really became very, and then I studied exercise science. So when I was studying exercise science in college, I had a professor, my biology professor was a Hindu. And so he was very much against the eating of cows and generally against the eating of meat. He was a vegetarian.
Okay.
So he gave us all these presentations of how showing us images of people who had like atherosclerosis and had to have like heart surgery. And he even showed us like cadavers of guys who were like professional marathon runners, but they dropped dead from a stroke. And he showed us like all of this like plaque in their arteries. So really kind of put in this idea in my mind that like if you eat these meats and all these things, that it's really bad for your health. And so, and then I went and studied Buddhist meditation and at the yoga ashrams and introduced the idea of ahimsa, which is like doing as little harm as possible in your life. So I thought, okay, I need to become vegetarian, right? Like that's the right thing for the planet. That's the right thing for my health. That's the right thing for my spiritual goals. So I was vegetarian for 24 years.
Okay. And you're not vegetarian anymore? Okay. I was so curious. I was like,
so when I was in my 20s, I was okay. When I hit 30, I started to notice like my health was deteriorating. So I started to eat fish. Mm-hmm. Then by the time I was like 35, I was like, it's still going down. So I started to add in chicken. And when I added in red meat several years ago and just I started to feel so much better. And then I went not just red meat, I went fully keto carnivore. My health took off. That's why I'm lifting the heaviest weight of my life at age 50, because I'm now keto carnivore and I'm eating right for at least my body.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do not metabolize carbs well. When I started going on keto, I was pre-diabetic.
Wow.
I was a very healthy person by every measure, but my fasting blood glucose was about 106 to 110.
Wow.
And I couldn't get it down no matter what I did until I spent almost, it took me almost 2 years of very low carb keto to get my fasting glucose below 100.
Wow. And you're still implementing. Do you do greens? I know like the carnival, you know, some people are like
the
fruits,
lion. That's the
fruits
yeah,
and
yeah,
meat.
Yeah.
And then, but I love broccoli.
Yeah. No, I love broccoli. I know.
I love vegetables. I'm like, there's the, you know, the carnivore and Paul Saladino whatever. Yeah. And he's all, and I think it's great what he's doing, but I love my vegetables more than fruit. And I mean, I think there's great nutrients. There's like the oxalates and all these things
I think we might have gone a little too, again, there's some people who are doing what's called the lion diet, and it's meat and salt, and that's it.
Meat and salt?
That's it.
We need to have a diverse microbiome, these things, the polyphenols, all these little, the colors and your fruits and vegetables.
Jordan Peterson's daughter, Michaela Peterson. So Jordan Peterson and Michaela Peterson, who both have, you know, very far-reaching podcasts, are both on that lion diet. And I saw an interview just the other day with, I think it was Piers Morgan, where he was talking to Michaela Peterson, and she's been on it for 6 years.
Wow.
Nothing but meat and salt.
And good blood work. Great blood work.
Yeah, apparently she's thriving on it.
Wow.
So, I mean, he asked her, what do the doctors say about this? And she says, they're surprised that I'm not dead. The doctors think she should
be
dead.
Has she done one of the calcium,
I don't know.
Scans?
I don't know. I would love to know that.
I know.
I would love
I'm so
to
curious.
See that. I would love to know.
If there's plaque And nutrients.
So for me, I don't metabolize carbs. I don't metabolize gluten.
Okay.
So
did you find that out with genetics or anything? Any genes that you might have?
I found that out maybe more through CGMs, continuous glucose monitoring.
Okay, yeah.
And then also I think it's also because of 24 years of vegetarianism that I built up too much
fat or
I built up I basically was burning out my pancreas,
right?
Which is what most people are doing today. That's why people are becoming, that's why everyone's metabolically inflexible.
Yeah.
And everyone's diabetic or pre-diabetic. Like basically about 90% of the population is diabetic or pre-diabetic.
So bad.
I mean, it's insanely
high. I know.
So pretty much the one thing everybody could do, regardless of where they are in their health journey, unless they're under 25 and a professional athlete, is probably cut your carbs way down.
Yeah.
That's just a very simple thing you can all do. And the best way to cut those carbs down is to cut out the processed foods.
Yeah. Right? I noticed, there was one thing, I'm very healthy, organic, everything, but there was one cereal that I just love, Three Wishes. It's a protein, somewhat healthy,
right?
But it wasn't organic. And I was like, okay, something's off still. So I took that out and I feel so much better. I just feel everything is stabilized now. My hormones, my ghrelin hormone, just all that, And I've been also implementing, liver. I've been doing taking a bite every day. And
that's
I
good.
Feel great.
That's good.
Honestly, I feel everything's more balanced. I feel
Have you ever worn a continuous glucose monitor to test your responses
to
foods?
That.
So did you find any foods that you particularly responded with big glucose spikes to that surprised you?
I was pretty healthy at the time. And then I was pretty, you know, I didn't, especially when I had the monitor, I was like very cautious.
No, that's not how you use it. You should eat.
How I typically am.
And you should even test it. So yeah. Like what I did, for example, I don't typically eat sushi.
The sushi, tell me that it's spiked, because everyone who's had sushi in a blood glucose monitor said it spiked it the worst.
Spiked it horribly for
me. Crazy. Everyone I've talked to has said sushi.
I got it from Erewhon. I said, okay, I'm going to try sushi. I'm going to get the best sushi from Erewhon that I could possibly, which, you know, I know they have
good quality
food.
And it didn't have sauce or anything? Because that's what I was like, maybe it's like sugar in the sauce, something they're eating.
One of the highest spikes I found was sushi. So, for example... You know, I actually did a talk at Radfest last year where I put my
Are you going to be at Radfest this year?
No, unfortunately. unfortunately, I actually have to fly to Brazil. We have to go to our lab down there, Department of Neuroscience, because we're launching some studies in Brazil. Well, so I'll be down there, unfortunately. But I had a great experience there last year, and I was fortunate enough they asked me to speak. I was on stage, and I presented something called Biosensors for Longevity. And I did a talk where I showed... on the stage, my continuous glucose monitor relationship between like a steak and sweet potato versus sushi. And it was so leveled out with steak and sweet potato and massive spike with sushi.
So I don't know. I would think the protein from the fish would counterbalance the rice. But I don't know. I've heard this with so many people. At least five people have had blood glucose monitors tell me sushi.
So I think that's what you should do when using the glucose monitor is try to test your system. Like even eat something you don't normally eat. Like you go back to your cereal, right? Like, like eat a big bowl of that cereal and see what happens.
Oh, so because, I won't do it. I just feel too good now. I was like, that was kind of, you know, ruining, I feel like, my blood glucose and just all that. So when I took that out, I feel a lot better. But one thing that affected, I was actually in Vegas, and it was like a green juice that had apple.
Yeah.
And I was desperate for something healthy there.
Right.
And I had it. And that was the one thing that spiked it the most. It had kale, spinach, whatever, and then it had the apple in it.
Yeah.
It
just, well, but that's not just the apple. It's just because when all the fiber are removed from the juices, your body doesn't know what to do with that because it's in an unnatural state.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, fiber, people think that's protein.
Healthy. I mean, trust me, I was a vegetarian. I used to think my green juice every morning was really healthy for me.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, you couldn't pay me to eat one now.
Yeah.
You couldn't pay me right now to have one of those.
And most people
juices.
Who don't do red meat have low iron. Yeah. I've noticed, like even my friend, I was just over at her house. She just did blood work. I was over having dinner with them and she got blood work done, came back. She also just had a baby. So I don't know how much that.
Oh yeah. That's going to have an effect. Too.
Yeah. But she, her iron was really, really low. Cause
she's
like,
vegetarian?
I'm exhausted. No, but she just does chicken and fish, I think, for the most part. So
this is where, again, where I think the blood work, like you were saying earlier, is key, right?
I know, because she's exhausted. She has a new baby, and she's like...
Yeah, you need to look at your blood levels. So here's the thing that I think, you know, anyone who's listening or watching, I'd like to impress upon you is that your personal, psychological, and moral beliefs do not decide how your body works.
Yeah.
So I'm a living testament to this. For 24 years, my personal and psychological belief was that I should be vegetarian, and I nearly destroyed my health for life. It's taken me years to recover.
I know.
So you may come from a religious order.
People really, I know, and it's hard for people to hear that, and they want to do it for the benefit, you know, and
I'm not saying that people have to be carnivore. Some people can probably get by without eating a lot of meat.
Even Brian Johnson's doing his, you have to put in a lot of work.
Yeah, but not only that, though, but he is supplementing with
protein,
peptides, and he's taking
testosterone
and human growth hormones. So this is the thing. What are you going to miss, I think, if you're Brian Johnson? This is my opinion, Brian. You know I love you. You know, he spoke at the Healthspan Summit, right? So I'm a fan of what Brian's doing. A lot of people hate on him, but I really appreciate his work.
And he's putting everything on display.
He's just sharing it with the world.
So awesome
to him for doing that. But my question would be like, yes, you could be vegan if you're taking TRT and human growth hormone.
Yeah.
Because that's what you're going to lose.
And people don't think about human growth. I mean, I just kind of started reading up on that because of the peptide space.
Right.
So I didn't even even really think of that until recently and started, you know, researching.
Or you can be doing like CJC epimorelin, which is the sort of like a precursor peptide. So you don't have to take hormone. The actual HGH, right? Because one of the problems with taking like HGH or testosterone is that the body is extremely lazy.
Yeah.
In the sense, like if you say, oh, I'm going to give you testosterone, it's like, oh, great. I don't have to make the stuff anymore.
Yeah. And that's why people always will have to take it for the rest of their lives.
So once you go down that path,
you have to be very, you have to know. Yeah.
And I think it's the same with human growth hormone as well. Like you go down that path, and that's why I think the CJC, epimorelin has become popular as a peptide because it's like it gives you that boost, but you don't have to actually, you know, do the TRT and the human growth hormone. And then there's other peptides you can bring in, you know. So again, not prescribing anything. If you want to go down the peptide path, go find a professional. But you know, there's some pretty great ways that you can start to. We have new ways that we're developing.
Yeah. So that's why it comes to a point where it's like, then we have these hacks where it's like, we're starting to implement that we didn't have before either to help our longevity. And then it's going to come to a place like, what should we allow and what should we not allow?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And then what are the price points going to come down to?
I know that too. I mean, the peptides they're expensive.
Yeah.
So that's why all these things are pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And most people can't even just go to the doctor, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, I don't know, but, so with your health, what did you do when you were young to fix your health, like your asthma and everything?
So, I mean, I would say, so coming back to that idea of the decades.
Yeah.
So if you're in your 20s, you know, I don't have a lot to say about pediatrics because I don't have any expertise in that field. So I'm talking to people maybe between 20 to 30. Yeah, my experience. So 20 to 30. So I would say in that decade, right, the thing that you have is you're never going to have a more resilient body and nervous system than you will at the 20s. So you need to think about that as your foundational decade. You should be pushing the limits of your body and even your mind to figure out, like, because if you think about this idea of being anti-fragile, right? Being anti-fragile means that you can give me any input and it doesn't throw me off balance, right? Psychologically or physiologically. So that's when you just need to like, just go for it, you know? Push yourself for exercise. I was competing in triathlons, you know, at the time. I was trying to like, how hard could I train? You know, I was crazy.
And you got to that point where you were able to breathe and like do
I mean, what happened was, some of it I think actually came post-puberty, just to be quite honest. Like it was a natural evolution out of puberty that my asthma definitely got reduced. And then I just started going to the gym. And when I first started going to the gym between like 18 and 21 for those first 3 years, I struggled. And I was inconsistent. I didn't have good discipline. I would sometimes go to the gym, sometimes I would not. And then like I started to just over those 3 years get more and more and more serious. And by the time I was 21, I was in college. I was studying exercise science. And I started, you know, I went and got my certification as a personal trainer. And I just started to just train every single day.
Wow.
And that laid the foundation.
Of your health.
Of my health.
Okay.
So if
you weren't like supplementing, like doing blood work, have you ever had mold toxicity?
No.
Okay.
I don't think I got that test done actually. I haven't had any signs of that being anything in my life.
I had mold toxicity.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I had some asthma too. I got to a point, and so that was, you know, finally getting rid of the mold and stuff.
Right.
Was just life changing as well for me.
Because, so all my labs now, I mean, now, technically, they wouldn't prescribe a statin, but my cholesterol is high. But if you look at the actual data, having high cholesterol, there's a certain level of cholesterol that's moderately high that actually is showed to have a correlation to increased longevity.
Mm-hmm.
So the cholesterol problem, like, I don't want to go down that path, but it's
a whole debate.
But other than that, my blood work is extremely good. There's a couple things that I'm working with, again, just because I'm aging for a man of my age.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my testosterone levels up a little bit more. It's also part of the reason why I lift heavy. I'm just now starting to get more into like peptides, exosomes, stem cells, but like you said, they're very expensive.
Yeah, they're very expensive. I think they're great. I'm all for peptides, everything. as for me, you know, I've had my blood work, I've done these things, my nutrition's there. So I'm kind of, you know, going, it's almost like biohacking or this longevity space is somewhat like you can look at it as an athlete where it's like people are trying to like be like the top of the top, you know? So,
well, but you got to get the foundations, right?
Because yes,
so it's
exactly.
Like coming back to where we started, but like if you're not getting sleep and nutrition, you're not exercising, like
do those first.
Don't just be like, oh, I'm going to start taking peptides.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, eating
sleeping?
Real food, I think is just magical. Like if people just start eating real food, that's like,
and if you start just really testing the limits of your body, I mean, you know, if you'd be surprised, like if you think, especially, okay, this to me, I have a bit of a feeling about this around mental health, right? So right now we live in a world that's incredibly unpredictable and overwhelming.
Yeah.
And you have, but the thing we have to realize, we don't, part of the reason we feel so overwhelmed because we have no control over what's going on. Like we see fires happening and we see people dying and it's like, you feel helpless. It's like, if you have any empathy in your soul anywhere, you're going to feel disturbed with what's going on in this world.
Yeah.
Right.
And people hurting. That's kind of like my passion for health is because I want people to like, I feel like people are hurting, you know, it's traumatic when you have a disease or something like just like a fire or these other things. I feel like that's also a huge factor of like stress and, you know, all this on our,
A4M had their event they called Inflammation, the Fire Within. Was one of their events last year. It was talking about that. So it's like the fire in the body. So there's a correlation there. But just to finish the idea, you can't make the world change.
Yeah.
But there is a few things you have control over, right? And you can control these things that you put into your own life, at least to some degree. If you're in the position that you cannot, again, even some people are struggling in life, maybe they don't have that options. But if you do, and you start to take control of that, it actually is good for your mental health because like not only do you get all of the endorphins and the happy chemicals from exercising, but when you start to control how your body is operating through exercise and nutrition and sleep, you feel like you're in control of some part of your life.
Yeah.
And
I feel like also
mental
the mental
health.
Part, like I've read many books now too, like over the past few years that have really helped me just like have a different thought process, you know, just of gratitude or whatever, these things. Like you can kind of control what you're thinking. Like I don't have to put my thoughts towards this situation. I can put my energy and my thoughts towards a situation I choose.
Right.
So like these little things too of kind of like exercising my mental health has also really impacted.
Well, and that's the idea behind meditation, right? Or reframing, if you want to use NLP and an NLP term, right? Is the idea of like, where are you orientating your consciousness towards?
Yeah.
So if you're orientating,
it's crazy.
If you're orientating to like all the doom scrolling on your feed,
you're going to have that mental, like you're just going to have anxiety and worry and fear. And so it's like, I want to be aware of these things, but I also want to focus my attention on like a lot of beautiful things. So
I deleted all the social media apps off my phone.
Really?
Yeah. Except LinkedIn. I use LinkedIn.
Okay.
But I even had Instagram up until a few weeks ago and I found myself doom scrolling actually because I have a lot of friends in Maui.
I know. I love Maui.
And that was horrible. And I was just starting to feel myself like, it's just so much going on. And I just realized that. So I took it. So I still have them on my tablet to look at them like a couple times a week or whatever. I didn't delete them completely, but I took them off my phone. So it's not easy for me when I'm like sitting at the airport or whatever to scroll. So now I have to do something else with my focus and attention.
Yeah. I was just talking to someone too. It's really, he used to live in Maui and then he was kind of getting like really upset. So he said
disturbing.
He had to like stop because it is. You can go down a rabbit hole and it's like.
Yeah. And what's happening too, though, is because of the way the news cycle is like when any tragedy happens, then all these people are coming in with all their opinions and creating all these stories around it. And it's like, you don't even know what's true anymore.
I know. And you're like, not there.
So it's like, I can't form an objective opinion,
you know?
And my whole, you know,
and you can only do what you can do too. Like, that's why I'm like, if I can do something, I'll do that and help.
Right.
But you know, me getting upset and worrying is not going to, you know, change anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it's
that's
not helping
why,
anyone. You're just creating more misery
inside
your
own mind.
News
and stuff. I'm like, okay, it's not, if you're going to do something about it, then go do that thing to help whatever situation you're getting, you know, upset about. But I think a lot of the times people just put so much time and get an energy into the news or these negative things. Right. And then it just affects them the most.
People on Twitter
then your health decreases because you're stressed and like, you know, all this. And it's like, so that's why we also need to like
putting down the phone and going for a walk in nature on the beach, take off your sunglasses.
It can do wonders too. I mean, we're really great. I'm really grateful that I have access to the beach because you know, you just go to the beach sometimes and you're like, wow, this is.
Well, but everybody
beautiful.
Has probably access to nature, somewhere. I mean, that's why I mentioned.
And walking. Anyone can walk. It doesn't take workout clothes. It doesn't take, you know, equipment or money.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, just walking can do wonders for your health.
Just start walking whatever you can. I mean, even if someone's severely obese, if you can only walk 5 minutes, walk 5 minutes. And next day, a couple of days later, you walk 6 minutes and then 7 minutes. And
the change.
That's the journey on all of this. And like I told you, that's what, for me, always comes back to that.
Like kind the
of,
root.
That root of it is just, you know, and also measuring it a little bit. Like even like when I did my walk today, like the first time I put on that vest, I think I was at... for the walk, I was at like 29 minutes the first time I did this loop, and now I'm down to like 27 minutes. So I just like to track that to just see, can I do the same distance and go just a little bit faster over time, you know, and just kind of, you got to make sure that you're also, because one of the other things that happens in health and fitness is people plateau.
Yeah.
I saw this a lot as a personal trainer. Mm. People would often come to me either because they were starting to exercise or they felt they had plateaued. And that was the two people that I often
would see.
Because they like, I'm training, I'm coming to the gym, but like,
and if they plateau, you would just recommend different workouts?
Yeah, you would have to do something. I guess there was an idea that came out, I don't know if you probably don't remember it, but there's this idea called like muscle confusion, which is the idea that if you train to only do a bench press, you become really good at doing a bench press. But you may not be good at doing a push-up.
No.
You may not be good at running. You may not be good at skateboarding or these other sports. So really a lot of what really makes a lot of sense, especially for those looking for that optimization, is doing like, consider yourself like doing like multi-sport events. Again, I'm training for the Centurion Decathlon, so I want to live to 100, right? So I'm on my health span. That's my plan. The health span
is
100.
So you are an athlete. It's a whole athlete.
Exactly. So it's okay. What do I need to be able to do? Well, I need to be able to, I need to be able to do deadlifts and squats, but I also need to be able to walk.
Yeah.
And I also should be able to play sports, and I should also be able to swim. And
prevent
injury.
I mean, that's why we need muscle and to prevent, you know, hip injury or that you don't fall. It's like one of those.
So you need to be thinking about all of those different things, like, you know, so you can be training like, and I said, I really like that idea because it brings out the athlete in me. So now I'm training for an athletic performance, but not to go and like get the best time at a race or to get on a podium or something like that, but to just actually be able to live a life with a high health span.
Yeah.
And so now I'm training with that mindset. So it's like you have to design it consciously.
Yeah. So... do you take supplements?
Yes.
Okay. Do you take a lot? Are you doing like, do you do it based off of your blood work or
I do it based off my blood work. I'm always, to be quite honest, experimenting with different supplements.
Too.
Like what?
What? I'm taking some taurine. I don't know. I switch all the time.
Well, I think that's also part of what I said before with this idea of muscle confusion. I'm not convinced that taking the same supplement indefinitely is a good idea.
Mm.
The supplement companies may not like me saying this, but like,
no,
is their business model.
And you don't want your body to get used to it. Yeah.
So I often do a lot of cycling with my supplements, and I'll take one and then I'll try to see. And also too, I try to change one at a time and see if it moves
the
needle.
Yeah. And just how I feel.
Yeah.
It's like, so some things affect everyone differently.
And some of them are really hard to quantify because you don't exactly know, like they're not always observable change. Like for example, like NMN.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of really good science about NMN, and I do take an NMN supplement.
Okay.
But I can't point.
Do you take an omega-3 supplement?
I cycle that.
Okay.
Yeah. NMN, like I'm kind of taking that because I believe in the science behind it. But I can't point to something in my life where it's like, oh, the NMN is creating
I know. I do take though. I also take True Niagen, which I, the NR.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I.
So you got to choose like NMN, NR,
yeah.
niacin, like, you know,
yeah,
which, what are you going to choose? use, and like, how do you know?
It's, and the it's, NAD, I just had the patches. Someone sent me the ion layer. Thank you.
Well, so that's what we do at Proven is we're actually taking those products.
Yeah.
We're putting them through trials.
Okay. So that's what Proven is.
Yes.
Okay.
So, we take these wellness products.
Okay.
Whether they're a digital device or a supplement or whatever.
Or even peptides?
Peptides, that's more in the medical space. So okay. We're staying outside of medicine. We're staying in wellness.
Okay. And tech.
Yeah, and tech. So they have to be wellness products, right? So we're not treating or curing a disease, but we're looking at performance, right?
Okay.
Health improvements and what's considered actually in the industry like a health claim.
Okay.
So if something, say, improves, you know,
these gadgets of like, you know, the
like even sleep can actually be a health claim, right? Mm-hmm. So like improves. Reduce sleep latency, right? With sleep latency is the time from when you put your head on the pillow till you fall asleep. That's a metric.
Okay.
So you could say that a product has has reduced sleep latency. You could also say a supplement increased deep sleep potentially. You could put Oura Rings on 100 people, give them a supplement. You would do a baseline with the Oura Ring.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you do a baseline with the Oura Ring so I know what is your normal deep sleep levels. I give you a supplement for a month. I continue to measure your deep sleep. And at the end of the month, I can see versus baseline versus intervention phase, did your deep sleep change?
Oh,
now,
I
if your
love
deep
that.
Sleep changed, I can say, well, this supplement,
I'll be the guinea pig.
This supplement had an impact on your deep sleep. So when a company comes and says, our product is going to improve your deep sleep, it's like, well, let's prove it.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yeah. I didn't know exactly what the website's a little.
Yeah, we haven't fully launched yet, actually, we're launching in October. So we're operating kind of in stealth mode right now.
Okay.
Because we got our first cohort of companies. We're starting studies. That's why I'm going to Brazil in a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Because we're actually conducting some more research in Brazil.
Some
of it's in the U.S. Okay. So we have institutional partners around the world. So we have Europe, the U.S., Brazil, India.
Wow.
So somebody can approach us and we can partner them with an academic institution, and if they want to do this, it can be a fully double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trial that can be published in a journal. So we can go IRB, this will be on clinicaltrials.gov. This is a fully publishable study.
Wow.
But it's for wellness brands. We're not doing
medical
claims.
Okay.
But if the wellness industry is going to cross the chasm, if longevity is going to cross this chasm into the mainstream, we got to do a better job of proving our claims.
Yeah. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of it's just kind of word of mouth or
reviews. And it's a lot of marketing. It's marketing.
And marketing, yeah.
It's the best marketing wins.
Yeah.
There's a lot of companies out there making outlandish claims. There's affiliates making thousands of dollars selling products or tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars being transacted. And the products don't work.
Wow.
I mean, just think about that for a minute. The wellness industry is a $4 trillion global industry. Based upon all the research that I've done, and again, there's no, I don't have any clinical data to back this up, but there are studies, for example, that have shown that when they independently test supplements, if they say only 74%, recent study was done, 74% of the supplements tested did not have the concentration of the supplements that were claimed on the bottle.
Wow.
And of those, 40% of them didn't have any of the product that was claimed to be inside.
Oh my God. Do not tell. Well,
So this is the thing, the quality. So just because you're taking,
I know,
just because the bottle says this or the marketing says that, it doesn't mean it's having the effect. We tend to overestimate our ability to judge outcomes mm-hmm. without objective data.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, you can say, I think it's making me feel better, but that could be deception.
Yeah.
It could be self-deception. I hate to say this. People don't like to hear me saying this.
No,
but
it makes sense. And the quality, too.
The dosing, the timing, how it gets absorbed, the bioavailability. Yeah. There's a lot there.
Yeah.
There's a lot. And there is no testing.
Yeah.
There's no regulations.
They do this in other countries, like Australia. It's regulated a lot. I thought their supplements are like
a little bit more
medical.
But see, so the problem is that if we don't do this now, the hammer is going to start to fall.
Yeah.
The FDA, the FTC, Canada is already looking down at shutting down the whole supplement industry almost.
Wow.
Because you got to understand, if you're a government personnel and you look at these numbers and you say these companies are making millions of dollars, tens of millions of dollars
off
of
fake products.
Fake products. What is your orientation going to say? You're going to say, you know what? Shut it down.
Yeah. Which we can't have.
So,
supplement, you know, a lot of these supplements have really helped me, like my hair or whatever. So it's like they're very beneficial, but I've also done a lot of research kind of looking into the supplement. I don't have any fillers. Like, I, you know, I've done like.
But not everybody has the time for that.
Yeah.
Right? You're doing that.
I like it because it's my passion.
You're geeking out on it. Yeah. You're in the space. But like Joe and Jane consumer.
Most people don't do it. They don't want to spend the time. It's not
That's
like,
why they listen to these podcasts. Like, what the heck do I do?
Yeah.
So what we need to do as an industry is we need to do a better job of proving our claims. We need to stop talking marketing speak. And we need the companies to step up and do the right thing and start to do the hard science to validate their claims.
Yeah.
And if they don't do it, trust me, the governmental forces are going to come in and they're going to shut this down. And they're already starting to do it. They're already shutting down NMN.
I know.
They're already shutting down CBD. They've already looking at shutting down supplements in Canada. Australia is looking. They're constantly trying. They're constantly looking to claw it back. Then there's a public outcry and they loosen it a little bit. But this tug of war is going to get really ugly in the next few years if we don't start taking responsibility today. So it's not only the right thing to do for the consumer, it's actually going to become a requirement to do business in the future.
Mm.
And that's why we're starting this company now.
Yeah. No, that's great. And then will it be like a little label, proven label on the...
Yeah, exactly. So that now the consumer can have some confidence that this product has been proven.
That's great. We definitely need that because you don't know. I've heard some people say, hey, I looked at this in my lab or something. And so this is a good supplement to take.
But yeah.
That's kind of just word of mouth.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And so it's not impossible. And again, I think the opportunity for us to take this whole longevity world to and health span world to the next level to get mass adoption. Like I said, we have to do these things to get to the next level. These industries have already gotten quite big, but like I said, for the mass market to really respect what we're doing, we have to go to a different level and improve our credibility to everyone.
And you'll also test the quality, like heavy metals or something.
We want to do long-term. We really want to build a whole ecosystem for this types of analysis. So it's really not going to be one company or one group that's going to solve this problem, but we're going to do our best. And ideally, my hope is to build coalitions with a lot of other people that want to solve this problem too, because we're not big enough to, I guess it's a $4 trillion global wellness industry per year.
Yeah.
Like not
I'm a contributor.
Yeah. Not one person is going to like fix this thing, right? Like we have a health crisis. We have, the wellness products that people are turning towards may or may not be efficacious. We have, problems with food. We also have, fires, like floods. There's a lot going on in the world.
Water, so it's like, soil.
Yeah, so it's like, what crisis do you focus on, right? So this is the crisis, at least I'm choosing with my team to focus on.
Yeah.
Right? How do we bring
more
credibility?
It's a different thing. I don't think a lot of people are doing that. So that's the great thing about it. So
yeah. So we're committed to that. That's
and you're
what
still
we're doing.
With HealthSpan?
Yes. We're still looking at, we still are producing some events.
Okay.
So, but
do you have
right
one
now,
coming up?
I do. It's not public. So I can send you a personal invitation. Yeah. But we are actually going to be having our proven launch party actually right here. Sounds like at the Kin.
On perfect.
October 12th.
Yeah, so, shout out to the Kin, this co-working space, this gorgeous podcast room in Venice.
Yeah, amazing space.
Yeah.
And so,
nice.
So we're going to do that. And you're going to hear a lot more from us, we're going to be coming to stuff in October.
I didn't know it hasn't launched yet.
It hasn't launched, like, yes.
So there will be more information on the website as well.
Very soon, yes. And if you're interested in this, and it doesn't even have to be a company that wants to do the research. If you just want to help us support what we're doing here in some capacity, we're open. But we have... we're building a coalition and ecosystem of brands and companies and individuals and physicians. You know, I'm working with a lot of different people now, and we really are coming together as a community.
Coming back to that relationship. I know, that's a great thing. I know, because this is my passion as well. So I'm building so many beautiful relationships, which fulfills me, you know, as well. So it's just kind of like my energy, and I'm really enjoying this space of everyone kind of contributing, because I think it's just helping everyone and then, you know, spreading that word.
Right. And we all have to work together, right? So you're doing your part. Thank you for having me here to like share a little bit of my message.
I'm so grateful to have you. Mm-hmm. You have so much knowledge. I could just talk to you forever. But this was definitely amazing. I'm so glad you could make it here. I'm grateful you're in LA.
Well, we definitely, the conversation was all over the place, but you said that's what you wanted, right? You wanted just have a talk. So.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't want to, you know, just talk about fitness or whatever. Right. So this was amazing. I loved all of it. Thank you so much. I guess three things, because I feel like most podcasts do this.
Okay.
I'm Biohacker Blondie, so three biohacks or longevity hacks. Three that you would say.
Well, I just came for a meeting with my close associate, Joe Bakhti, over at Resolution. And this is one that probably people aren't thinking about, but he's brought my awareness to the fact that we should all be doing this, is early detection. We're not thinking about that is a longevity hack. We're all thinking about all the intervention stuff. But there's actually a lot of tools that are now coming online where you can detect, you know, and you like even
early signs of
early
cancer
signs of cancers and blood, you know, disorders, organ disorders, right?
Because black
you,
or whatever.
Yeah, you could be developing, you know, a fatty liver in your 30s.
Which is really common.
In your 30s.
Oh, in children, it's like 15% have a non-alcoholic fatty liver.
And you don't know, and it could be below the threshold for medical diagnostics, because mm-hmm. they're really looking at disease. So they're not looking. So you may have built up. So when they say your A1C, you know, is 6.5 and now you're diabetic, well, you probably were, that was like 20, 30 years it took you to get there. So it's like now we need to start thinking, the next phase of this is we need to start thinking about early detection, and we need to start looking at those, you know, those early pre-diabetics, and like that should be sending the signal right away.
And that's what I like with blood work or whatever. Once you see that, you'll really take action.
Yeah. So
that's like until you see something, you know, you don't know.
Yeah. So I'm going to. Of my three, I'm probably going to give.
That's maybe a great one. That's
different. I'll try not to make them all diagnostic tools, but I'm also a big fan of wearables. So I'm wearing both a Whoop and an Aura.
Okay.
So I'm big about like this
get
idea.
The Aura ring. Everyone loves it.
I'm a big. Well, it depends what you're looking for. You know. Also, I work with Garmin. I've tested Now Watch, doing amazing work. There's a lot of different wearables. So this is a complicated, I've done a lot of podcasts just on wearables. So it's one of my areas of research. But I think, again, using that early detection and the blood work and the testing, you can also, even if you can't, the thing is that is something you maybe do once a year.
Yeah.
At most twice a year, really. Some people told me you could do blood work quarterly if you really wanted to dive in, but that might even be too much for most people.
Yeah, yeah. Wearables, most people don't do it for 5 years.
Show you day by day variations.
Yeah, I know. And so the blood glucose monitor is great. I think that's been a game changer for a lot of people.
So I'm a big fan of biosensors. So we continuous glucose monitoring, wearable tech. So I would have to say like early detection and get yourself a wearable and just start to pay attention to like what you're doing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just avoid those situations or even finance or whatever, because they don't want to deal with it. They're just like, I don't want to, you know.
So,
but when you start measuring things, you're like, wow, I need to take action. These are things I can be implementing.
You can't deny the data when it's sitting there in your face.
Yeah.
So when you see that blood work and you see, holy crap, I watched Netflix till 2 a.m. last night and I was eating popcorn until midnight and I look at my HRV is completely in the toilet. It's like, I can no longer say that's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It's like once it's there, you're like, okay, I shouldn't have had a drink. You know, this is like I had
alcohol
horrible.
Alcohol can be brutal for some people once they start to look at their HRV scores. It's like can kill your HRV.
No, yeah.
So I would say early detection, use of wearables.
Wearables.
And you know what? I'm going to pick my third one because I think it's so important, because we talked about this. We're going to bring it back to nature because that costs nothing.
I know.
Get yourself in nature. Get up in the morning before you pick up your phone, before you do anything. This is my common circadian rhythm reset I give everybody.
Do you make coffee or anything?
No coffee.
You just go straight outside.
Go straight outside.
Okay,
barefoot, on the earth, no phone. You're not allowed to look at your phone before this. And go do some breathing and some light movement, Tai Chi or yoga or whatever you do, for 10, 15 minutes before you start your day. Get yourself aligned with a circadian rhythm reset. If you do that every day for 30 days, I guarantee you, I will guarantee you, here's my personal guarantee, that you will see change just from that one 10, 15 minutes. But you got to do it consistently and you'll see the improvement.
Okay. I'm going to make this my goal this week, to go to the beach in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you don't even look at your phone, because your mind.
I need coffee.
Your mind will. No, coffee. You have coffee 2 hours after you wake up.
Oh my gosh. No.
Yeah. Because you need to have. So you know about this, the melatonin and adenosine balance. So you need in the morning, you need that sun to get into your eyes. And you need to get that movement in your body, because that will activate your cortisol and your adenosine levels will go up and you'll get a boost from that. You won't need the coffee. You take the coffee 2 hours later, because that will continue to give the boost throughout the day. But you need
decaf.
I
just love the taste. It's like a routine to me. It's my happiness. It's like I do the little pour over. It's like a whole.
Well, we started with the point that we have these negative behavioral loops.
Coffee is definitely, but I do decaf later on. I just love the taste of it.
Right.
It's like my favorite, my guilty. Yeah. And I know it's like dehydrating and everything.
Yeah. So those are my three.
Sorry, it's my guilty pleasure. We all have some, right? We're not perfect.
I'm not telling you. You don't have to give up your coffee if you really don't want to, but this is my health.
I'll start with the beach too.
Do
that.
But if that starts to give you the boost, you may find that you're okay going those 2 hours without the coffee.
Yeah,
just see what happens after a couple of weeks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Try a day without the coffee.
Yeah, one day at a time.
Yeah, one day at a time. Exactly.
Anyways, well, thank you so much for coming here and doing this podcast with me. I really appreciate it. Hopefully we get the word out more with all the health and awareness and longevity, and make people healthier and more beautiful.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.